Preface to 1935. So, I have completed another full year. The arrangement for this year will follow on the same lines as heretofore. I finally decided not to include any public events, unless I think of them, or haven't anything better to record. I rather think I neglected the reports on the weather last year, but we will let that pass. I really must make up my mind to keep the record going from day to day, and endeavour to enter up something each day as it comes, even if it be ever so trivial. Last year, particularly towards the end, I was so busy with other matters that I was afraid that the book would peter out like the ill-fated 1932 volume. As it is now the third day of January as I write these lines. I will be brief with this year's preface and will close with the hope that I shall be able to see more places and thus gain greater knowledge that will widen my outlook still further during the present year than ever before. Sydney Thomas Albert Flynn, 142 Kingsland Road, Plaistow, London, E13. Tuesday, the 1st of January. Last night and tonight I wired into my homework for building construction, and, though I could not complete two of the week's work, owing to my forgetting exactly what was set, still, I am satisfied with what I have done. Also, on those two nights, Dad and I have christened the dartboard, which I bought from the blokes at work. We are so short-handed now that we have no time for games at midday. On Monday night, I broke a dart, and Dad bent the point of another. They are of the loaded cane variety, so tonight I brought home the original feathered kind. Wednesday, the 2nd of January. Tonight, Mum, Dad and I went to the Old Vic to see Die Fledermaus, a special Christmas treat of mine. It had the same cast as I saw in November, so I will say little regarding the performance, except that it was every bit as good as before. I booked up on the 14th of December, and even then only succeeded in getting the three last seats in the pit stalls. Thursday, the 3rd of January. It has been very mild this week, the average temperature during the day being above 50 degrees Fahrenheit, whilst even at night it has not fallen below 40 degrees. And, what is more remarkable, no fog has accompanied it. The days are reminiscent of spring, and one may get positively hot when walking at an ordinary pace in the evenings. Friday, the 4th of January. These last two evenings, I have had a fit of laziness in regard to doing homework, and have given myself up to playing darts instead. I had a search round tonight, just before 10, and succeeded in getting the tail end of the English talk from Moscow. The announcer informed us that they were then experiencing, in Moscow, 61 degrees Fahrenheit of frost, whilst I believe our average night's temperature was 18 degrees Fahrenheit above freezing point. Saturday, the 5th of January. Quite a change in the weather this morning. A really cold snap, it appears. This afternoon, Mum and I went to Forest Gate in an attempt to get in the Queen's Cinema to see Jack Hulbert in The Camels Are Coming, but the people were lining up. We stayed until 4:30, but as there were no signs of anyone coming out, Mum went home and I stayed in the queue alone. It was bitterly cold and I had to wait till 6:15 before I got in. The films were very good. Jack Hulbert was screamingly funny, whilst the other picture, The Barretts of Wimpole Street, was exceedingly well acted, especially by Charles Laughton. What with getting in late and seeing part of the Camels over twice, I did not get home till nearly 10 o'clock. It rather frightened Mum, who thought something might have happened to me. Wednesday, the 9th of January. Resumed science tonight, where we messed about, literally, making pats of cement and briquettes for testing purposes. It is a little interesting, I suppose, but I do not like the messiness of it. Perhaps I'm too fuddy. Friday, the 11th of January. Tonight, I went to the Bolin Pictures to see Wallace Beery and Jackie Cooper in Treasure Island and found it a well-got-up and well-acted piece. I should imagine that a genuine ship of the period had to be specially built for the film. Some of the scenes were remarkably good. The rest of the show was rotten. Sunday, the 13th of January. I was rather undecided where to go when I left home this morning, apart from the desire to go north, so I made Thaxted my first objective. I took the route through Ilford, Chigwell and Abridge to Passingford Bridge, soon after which I turned off through Toot Hill to Bobbingworth and Moreton. I took a snap of the windmill at Moreton and went my usual way through Matching Green and Hatfield Broad Oak, crossing Stane Street at Tateley and working through Broxted. Just before reaching Thaxted, I left the road and took the footpath that leads up past the mill to the church. By the time I reached the churchyard, I was fairly well coated with mud, whilst the bike was much dirtier than before I cleaned it at Christmas. I wandered around a little, taking snaps, and left about an hour afterwards for Saffron Walden by way of Debden. I then went to Audley End to see the famous mansion, and I am obliged to admit I was rather disappointed in it. It is certainly very large, but I had expected to see a Tudor house, whereas it looks to be about the time of Oliver Cromwell or Charles II. Tuesday the 15th of January. I haven't felt well all day, so tonight I took a couple of pills to clear my inside. I cannot seem to eat, and have all the symptoms of a bilious attack. Wednesday the 16th of January. I feel fit again today, thank goodness. Tonight we tested the cement briquettes we made last week. We got amazingly good results considering we tested them a day too early. One ludicrous incident occurred when, in testing one of the blocks, we ran out of lead shot and piled in a lot of other small weights and still couldn't break the briquette. It was eventually found that one of the multiplying levers had come off its knife edge and the block was, consequently, receiving very little pull at all. Tuesday the 22nd of January. For several weeks now, I've been debating with myself on the advisability of purchasing another map for my cycling weekend trips. I've seen a good deal of Essex, Hertfordshire and part of Buckinghamshire and thought I'd like to explore the country south of the Thames. It has been more a question of which map to get, Kent or Surrey. I'm not keen on Surrey on account of having to cross London, while a map of Kent, on the other hand, I imagine would start too far east to be of any practical value to me. Today, therefore, after a rough financial calculation, I went down to the CTC office and bought a Surrey map. Actually, I think it will do better than I had thought. It is up to date, 1934. Also, it extends from Aldershot in the west to Tunbridge in the east and from Harrow in the north to below Horsham in the south. The colouring of the roads is altered, red for main roads and orange or brown for second class instead of dotted red. This will take a lot of getting used to, but I think it will be easier to read. Tuesday, the 29th of January. I went to see Harold Lloyd at the premiere tonight in The Cat's Paw, but was disappointed to find it not so good as his usual pictures. The accompanying film, The Man with the Electric Voice, was a mass of bilge. Next week, I see, they have Mrs. Wiggs of the Cabbage Patch, which I know Mum would like to see, and The Man Who Knew Too Much, the film that was awarded a medal for being the best British one produced during 1934.